Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 136 this morning. Psalm 136, as we've been taking some time to go through some different psalms over the last few weeks. Psalm 136. We'll look at, consider the entire chapter. There's 26 verses in this psalm, but we'll just, for our opening reading, look at the first four verses. It's good to see some college students. We had some here early at the early service and some here this morning at the 11 o'clock service. Others will be traveling in this week. And some are staying here for the remainder of the semester and others will be headed back and so forth. So let's be praying for all of our college students and whatever their schedule is going to be. But we're glad to see you young people. Been praying for you. Psalm 136, let's look at verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, we thank you again for this privilege to be in your house this morning. Thank you, God, that we could meet together. Thank you for your hand of protection over our church, our ministries here. Lord, we give you all the praise for that. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word now. I pray, God, that you would go before us. Lord, we want to receive your message today. We want to hear what you have for us, and we want to receive it in a fashion, God, that's going to make a difference in our lives, Lord, for right now and throughout this week and the days ahead, as well as for eternity, God. And Lord, we'll certainly give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are in Thanksgiving week. And I was thinking about it, you know, when COVID hit there in March. And that seemed like a long ways away, didn't it, when Thanksgiving, the end of this year, this time of the year. And here we are, and it is here, and we thank the Lord for his protection over us and his goodness to us. And we're in Thanksgiving week, and there's 33 days till Christmas, and then 39 days till 2020 is over.
Amen.
Yeah. We're kind of timid to say amen because we have no idea what 2021 has in store for us, do we?
Amen.
We're kind of timid. We're like, yeah, 2020, but I'm not sure what's around the corner here. And we don't know. And but what we do know is God is faithful.
Amen.
What we do know is that his mercy endureth forever. There's a lot of things that are unknown with the remainder of this year, the year to come. But that's what I want to share with us today, the things that we do know. And this psalm certainly highlights some things for us. You'll notice in those four verses that we read, and if we were to read all 26 verses, that last phrase of this psalm is the same throughout. For his mercy endureth forever. And that's what I want us to really focus in today on, is that repetitive thought there. Psalms 136 is certainly a unique psalm. We'll mention some more about this phrase here in just a moment, but even the first verse is a verse that is repeated multiple times in the Scripture. Read that again. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We see it in multiple verses in the Psalms. Psalm 106, verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1, and verse 29. It's in 1 Chronicles 16, 34. It's in 2 Chronicles 5, 13, and in 7, 3. And it's in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verse 11. I don't know, 8 or 9 different times we see this verse, and just like this. And when something is repeated that many times, you would think the Lord's wanting us to know something, wouldn't you? He's certainly wanting us to know that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And then, of course, there's these 26 verses with that repetitive statement, "For his mercy endureth forever." I was reading through this week, and you know, and in my flesh, you read this, and your flesh might be like, yeah, I get it. Your mercy endureth forever. I've heard it over and over and over again, and almost it becomes a monotonous if we're not careful, but repetition is a strong teaching tool. It's something that we recognize, and certainly something that the Scripture highlights here for us. This past week, I was walking through our school lunchroom during one of the elementary lunch times, and some of the kids were turning around and saying, "Hi, Pastor," and others were wanting to fist bump me and stuff, and so I was spending a few minutes, and this one little boy that I didn't know, I think he just wanted to try to stump me, because he didn't say hello or anything. He goes, "Pastor, what's 8 times 9? And I just looked at him, I said, "72. He's like, "Phew." Just turned around, like, went back to eating his peanut butter and jelly, you know? I think he thought, this old guy's not going to know his times tables, but I know my times tables, church. Amen. Third grade, Mrs. Johnson, every day, 8 times 1 equals 8, 8 times 2 equals 16, all the way through to the 12s even, you know? I know them. And I could give them to him. And that little boy learned a valuable lesson last week. Repetition. I'm going through some discipleship studies with a couple of men in our church separately. And, you know, I do these adult Bible studies. I love going through these individually. A lot of times with memory verses, adults will tell me, they'll just give me the excuse, I can't memorize. You know, like I'm over 30, I can't memorize anymore, something happens to us, you know, and we make that excuse. But these two guys that I'm going through the studies with right now, they are just killing these memory verses, just doing great. And I was talking to both of them, and the one says it's repetition. It's just repeating it over and over and over again, and it becomes a part of us. When my boys were little, I don't mark this up as one of my great parenting tricks, but I did it. But it seemed like my boys would either leave the doors open when they were coming in and out from the outside the house, or slam them, all right? I'd be sitting there, all of a sudden the whole house is shaking, and you hear this big boom, and oh, the boys are home, all right? And so one day I had enough of it, and I said, "All right, boys, over here." And we went to the side door, and I said, "Titus, you're the oldest. You're going to go first." I said, "Here's what you do." And you grab the handle, and you turn it, and you open it. And then you just close it like this, and you let the handle go. And they're looking at me like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Do it." And so my son comes over there, and I said, "Do it again." I said, "In fact, do it till you've done it 100 times. And he looked at me like, "What?" I said, "Yes, you're going to learn how to shut the door. If anything, you're going to learn this." And so he does it like 7, 8, and he's really going to do it. Yes. And so then he went all through the 100, and my son Silas was looking at me, he's like, "Okay." And he went over there, and he just started doing it. And I wanted them to learn through repetition the habit of opening and closing a door. Repetition is something that is valuable for us. In fact, I thought about this as I was thinking about this. You know, we go through a lot of similar trials over and over again, don't we? I wonder if God wants us to learn some things through some similar trials that he allows us to go through. And certainly in this psalm, Psalm 136, without a doubt, he wants us to know this: his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136 was a psalm that was used, like many of the psalms, in public worship there. Most likely the individual that was leading that worship, whether it was the priest or one of the Levites, he would read the first part of the verse, and then the congregation would repeat that last statement, "For his mercy endureth forever." Well, I won't make you do all 26 verses, but will you read that with me in that fashion, those first 4 verses? I'll read the first portion, and then where it starts, "For his mercy endureth forever," you pick up and read out loud, and let's practice that through those first 4 verses. So, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doeth great wonders." So again, the idea that the Word of God, that God wants us to learn this thought here through repetition. It was a psalm of public worship. It's also a psalm of thanksgiving. That very first verse, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And then look at the final verse of this chapter, verse 26, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." I call this a bookend psalm. It starts with a thought and it closes with that thought. Now, in between, there's many other thoughts, but this psalmist begins with thanksgiving and he ends with thanksgiving. It's a plea or a challenge for us to be people of thanksgiving. This week is my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving. I enjoy it. I love that we can get together with family, with friends. Let's be honest. We love the food this weekend, don't we? We'll have a lot of those family recipes. I was talking to some of you today, so what are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving? Oh, we're going here, we're doing this, someone's coming to us. And I was talking, I think it was to the Clintons this morning, about the family recipes. And you know, and what's special and unique. And our family and the Carpenters, not necessarily what was my wife was used to with her family, but with the Carpenters, one of the traditions is cornbread stuffing. And I just absolutely love it with tons of gravy all over it. And I'm looking forward to that this week. I am anticipating that. I love Thanksgiving. I love that we get to get together with our family, our loved ones. But one thing that will take place at our home and with our family that always happens at our Thanksgiving is before we eat, there will be a time where we pause and we consider all the things that we're grateful for. And we truly will give thanks. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about just in the fashion of our nation that is so divided right now politically and just even morally and everything. You think about all the millions of people just this week in our country that will not take even a moment to pause and be thankful for anything. And I don't want that to be true of us, church. This is a plea for thanksgiving here. This is a challenge that you would truly be thankful and grateful. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. There is a fact, there is a fundamental point being driven home here that there is much to be thankful for, and it's all under this umbrella that God is good. Amen. We sang a song this morning. In fact, it was the last hymn we sang. You are always good. You are only good. And that is a great thing for us to remember as we go into this Thanksgiving week. And certainly it ought to be all every day. Brother Renner in our Sunday school class in the auditorium this morning taught on how as a Christian life, Thanksgiving just ought to flow out of us. It just ought to be a part of our DNA, part of our makeup. We ought to always be giving thanks. And I especially want to challenge us this week and put that plea before you that we would be a thankful people. And in this particular psalm, we need to be thankful for God's enduring mercy. Being thankful for God's enduring mercy. Take note, first of all, in this psalm, how the psalmist is careful to identify the Lord in a few ways in these opening verses and then in the last verse. Look at again verse number one. Let's take note here. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Now, if you look at that word Lord in verse number 1, and you compare it with the word Lord or the name Lord in verse number 3, do you see the difference between the two? One is spelled in all caps there in verse number 1, and then in verse number 3, it's capital L and then small o, r, and d. Now, when Pastor Edwards was here not too long ago with us, I guess this past August, He spoke about that. He drove home that point here of those capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It is in reference to Yahweh. It's the Jewish word Yahweh, our word Jehovah. And we won't get into a in-depth lesson on this today, but I want you to know that when the psalmist is pointing this out, he's reminding us of this here, this thought here, of the Lord's eternality and the Lord's unbreaking covenant with his people. He is Jehovah God. He is an eternal God. He is a God that has made a covenant with his people, and it will not be broken here. In fact, this is this title for the Lord, Jehovah here, Yahweh, is used 670 some times in the book of Psalms alone. It's its most frequent use throughout the book of Psalms, and it reminds us again of the eternality of the Lord and his covenant with his people. But then you go to verse number 2. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." He's not referring now to the Lord of this Lord Jehovah here in verse 1. He draws attention now to the God of gods. And of course, he's in referencing here to the God of gods, little g of gods there, of the idea that there are many little g gods out there that people would worship, but there's one supreme God. There's one over them. There's one true God, and he calls him here the God of gods. And this is from that word Elohim. And it connects God to his creation. He's the creator God. It's used over 340 times throughout the book of Psalms. Elohim, creator God. Then in verse number 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." This is a word that's only used 9 times in the book of Psalms. It's a Hebrew word called Adon. It's very closely tied to that word Adonai. And again, it signifies lordship, rulership, sovereignty, that the Lord is over all. And then in that last verse of this psalm, verse 26 of Psalm 136 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." This is just a small little word, El, E-L. And its psalmist uses this here, and it reminds us of his strength, of the Almighty God. And it's closely tied to that word from verse 2, Elohim, which reminds us of his great might and power in his creation. And so when the psalmist is writing this, he's encouraging us to give thanks to the eternal God. He's encouraging us to give praise and thanks to the Creator, to the Sovereign One, to the Almighty God. And then he says this, "For his mercy endureth forever." I give thanks to this eternal creator of all, sovereign over all, almighty God, because his mercy endureth forever. And as we look at this passage, certainly we could not study this without understanding this repetitive statement, his mercy endureth forever. The word mercy in this chapter, it carries the idea of God's kindness. It carries the idea of his favor and his goodness. Now, it's not just his mercy in that general sense there, but it's who his mercy is targeted towards, who it's aimed at. And it's to his people. In the context of this passage, it's to the nation of Israel, but we would do it no disservice today to say this is targeted towards us, his people. God, he desires kindness towards us, favor towards us, goodness towards his people. God wants to be good, and God is good to us. God wants to show his kindness and his favor towards his people. Yesterday at our men's prayer meeting, which we meet every Saturday morning, men, although we're not meeting this Saturday because of Thanksgiving, but men, we'd encourage you to come out to this prayer meeting when you can. And we get together, and probably the first 30 or 40 minutes, we take prayer requests. And those prayer requests, for the most part, are repeated every week. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I enjoy that. I love to hear those prayer requests called out. And we're reminded of them. We write them out, and then we go in our rooms and we pray for them. Every week we start, Brother Vance Langhorn, he's our leadoff hitter there. And he shares his prayer request. He says, "Pray for the Langhorns. There's a slew of them that need to be saved." And we pray for their salvation. He says, "Pray for my family. Pray for my kids. Pray for my business." And then we go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And we hear those requests. But yesterday we had a man that shared his prayer request that she does every week. But before, they said, "I would like to share just a quick testimony." He says, "I've had several prayer requests that I've asked you men to pray for, and I want you to know God answers our prayers." And he shared with us some things that he'd been praying for here in recent days, and he'd ask us to pray for them. And here's what I really, what touched my heart as I've been studying this, I think it just resonated that much more with me. He goes, I want you to know God answered our prayers and your prayers and my prayers, not because I'm a good person, but because God is good. Not because I deserved it, but because God was just merciful to me. God wanted to show his favor, his kindness, his goodness to me. And boy, that blessed my heart for someone to recognize it wasn't because of us, but because of God. And there's so much for us to be thankful for. I know it's elementary and you may not enjoy this, but would you just say that with me? God is good. Say it. God is good. Let's add something to that. Even in 2020, God is good. Say it. Even in 2020, God is good. Let's say this. Hopefully in 2021, God's going to be really, really good, right? We'll pray. We'll ask God. But listen, no matter when, church, God's good. No matter what's going on, God's good. No matter what trial you're in or what high time in your life you're in, God is good. His mercy endureth forever. And he loves to show his goodness, his kindness, his favor to his children. Not because we deserve it, but because he's a good God. Oh, I trust that we'll see that today. Now, God's mercy, his goodness, his kindness is displayed in three different ways in this passage of Scripture. In verses 4 through 9, we see it through his creation. In verses 10 through 15, we see it through his redemption or his deliverance. And then in verses 16 through 25, we see it through his providence, how God leads us, how he directs us. Let's read those verses, and I'm not going to make a lot of comments on them, but you'll notice creation, you'll notice redemption, you'll notice providence or direction from God. Let's read verses 4 through 9. You follow along. It says, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by his wisdom, by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. As I made mention here just a moment ago, Elohim, God there, Elohim, it reminds us of his creative work, his creation. And that's probably what we notice or think of most times when we think about creation, the power of God, that he spoke this world into existence. By the way, when I go out and I see God's creation, it takes, for me, it would take a whole lot more faith to believe that happened by chance, that just was an accident and there was an explosion and this happened out here, than it does for me to believe that there's a God that created all these things. It's very easy for me to go out there, and even here on our property, I don't know how many acres we own here, but whatever we have here, and most of it's turned into block buildings and blacktop, but I went out the other day and I looked across there and across our soccer field, saw the trees and the leaves turning colors, and I thought, well, that's God's creation. God's beauty on display, his handiwork is ever before me. And I thought of God's power, but it's given here in the sense of God's mercy. And so I want to give you an exercise. I want to give you a challenge, church. The next time you go out and you see the creation of God, think of his power, but think of his mercy that endures forever as well. The God that made all this knows what you're going through, knows your situation, and when you see the beauty of his creation, you see the sun, the moon, the stars, you see the trees, you see the wildlife, all these things, you remember this. There's a God that made that, and that God loves you, and that God wants to do something good in your life, and he's always good. Remember the merciful God through our creation. Oh, he's a good God. But then in verses 10 through 15, we see his redemption. Notice in verse number 10, as the psalmist takes us through some Jewish history here. He says, to him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through in the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. We see the redemption, the deliverance of Israel from their captors in Egypt. They've been slaves there for over 400 years. They're entrapped there, and God brought them out. God delivered them. God redeemed them. And it reminds us of his redemption and his mercy. God in his mercy brought them out. And God in his mercy brought me out one day. He purchased me. I was on the slave market of sin. I belonged to Satan. If you've been saved, you are on that same slave market. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with his blood, purchased us, brought you out of there, led you out of that, and purchased you. I trust today you have a salvation testimony. You have a redemption testimony, a deliverance testimony, that there was a time in your life when you by faith received the gift of God, his Son Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if you've got that testimony, you've been delivered, you've been redeemed, and it's because of the mercy of God. The next time you think about your salvation, your testimony, when you were saved, think about the mercy of God. Think about the goodness of God. Think how good he is that he saved you. Listen, there is nothing greater in your life than to know that you're eternally saved, that you've got that taken care of, and that you have a home in heaven. Think about Pastor Craig Griffith. In these just few short months that this cancer has just wreaked havoc in his body. And they did their very best. And yesterday he took his final breath here on this earth. But then he took his first breath of celestial air. He suddenly was with the Lord, and then he was cancer free. He's been in a wheelchair now for weeks. He's been in bedridden for weeks, and now he's running the streets of gold. Can you imagine what he has experienced in just these last 12 hours? Oh my, what an amazing thought. When my mother-in-law passed away from her cancer, we sat in that room for several hours, and my wife and family stayed right by her bedside as she was getting ready to pass from this life to the next life. And I was really anxious and concerned for my wife. How would my wife handle this? She'd been so hurt and upset watching her mom pass and knew that day was coming, and I was concerned. What would my wife, how would she be? How would I comfort her? And so when she did pass, we had a season of prayer and time in there, and we'd been there so long, everybody said, well, let's just go home, and we'll get cleaned up and where we were staying, and then we would get together for dinner that evening. And I was walking out with my wife, holding her hand, and she just looked at me with her eyes, with tears in her eyes, and she goes, I can't believe it. I can't imagine what my mom is doing right now. I can't imagine that she's already seen Jesus, and she's already seen her loved ones in this family, and just the peace that the reality of redemption brought, that only comes to us because of the mercy of God. Listen, God is good. We see it in his creation. We see it in his redemption. And we see it in his providence, in his direction in our lives. Verse number 16, it says, to him which led his people through the wilderness. There's that idea of his leading, his directing, his providence, which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote the great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. God leads us. Listen, I don't know what 2021 is going to hold for us, but I do know this. God will lead us if you'll let him. God has a plan. He's got a direction. There's a providence of God. And just trust him. Remember the mercy of God. It may get better in 2021. It may get worse in 2021. But God is still the same. God is still there for us, and we hold on to this thought of his direction, his leading in our lives. So in all aspects of life, the Lord is merciful. He is good. He is kind. In the moments where everything seems to be going the way we want it to, we're enjoying life, remember this, God is good. And then remember this, when things are not going well, when we're not enjoying life, God is good, and we can trust him. The last time I preached out of this passage, and I may have given a devotion out of it at some point or another, but the last time I ever preached this passage in church was a Sunday, August 6th, 2006. I remember specifically that message because it was one of the more difficult days of my ministry, even up to this point. Gone to bed that night before Saturday night, August 5th, and I'm probably about 1:30 in the morning, I get a phone call on my cell phone, which was right by the nightstand, and of course that's never a good thing to get a phone call at 1:30 in the morning, but I got that call and I answered it, and I'm trying to get my mind clear, and the voice on the other line said, "This is Inga." She was a lady in our church, and she was broken. I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "You need to get the Nancy's." That was her mother-in-law and also a lady in our church. She says, "You need to get the Nancy's. Stephen and Jeremy were killed in a motorcycle accident last night." That was Inga's brother-in-law's and Nancy's, two of her children. One was 37 and the other one was 28, I believe. They had been out the night before or the day before. One of those things motorcycle clubs would do, kind of just do a little journey from place to place. It was a fundraiser, I think, for something. The older of the two brothers went home early and was going too fast. I could take you to the spot on Route 38 just north of Butler, Pennsylvania, and he came around a curve, and the bike laid down, and he slid across that road, and he would have been fine, but there was a street sign there that his body hit at a high rate of speed. And it killed him instantly. An hour or so later, his brother Jeremy heard about it, heard that Steve had been in an accident, didn't know he was dead, but heard that, got on his motorcycle wherever he was at, and he sped there at a high rate of speed. I was talking to the coroner. I met him afterwards, and he said, "I was taking Steve's body away in the ambulance, and I saw this bike fly by us, and I said this out loud, 'I'll be picking his body up next.' And as Jeremy came around the bend, the traffic was stopped for his brother's accident, and he ran into the back of a vehicle, flew about four vehicles in front of him, and hit his head and died an hour later. 200 yards apart, 2 hours apart, two brothers. As I made my way that morning to Nancy's house, it was about 2 in the morning, by 2:15 by the time I got there. She was on the back porch on the phone. As I came around the corner and she saw me and she looked up and she had the phone in her hand, had tears streaming down her face, and she just shook her head at me and told me to hold on for a moment, and she finished her conversation and she got off the phone, and the very first words she said to me, she says, 'Pastor, God does not make mistakes.' And I grabbed her and we hugged and we prayed together and spent some time with her. left that morning, got back to my office probably around 4, and I just sat down in my office and said, God, what am I going to say to our little church today? We live in a small community of 700-800 people in our whole town. I knew word would spread for this quickly. I had a church of about 140 people. I knew that there people would hear about this, and I knew it was just going to be a difficult day. And as I often would do in difficult times, I just turned to the Psalms. Just start flipping around, Lord, show me something. And it wasn't long till I got to Psalm 136. And I noticed, like anybody would, that phrase over and over, for his mercy endureth forever. And I sat there and I meditated on that. And that morning, as I went out to the church service at 11 o'clock, it was a quiet, somber service. I saw Mike, the brother of these boys, his wife and kids, as they were sitting over there crying and hurting. I walked in there and I said, church, I don't have much of a message, but I got a point to make to you today. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Church, I don't know what 2021 holds for us. I don't know what this next week holds for us. But I know this, we've got a good God. And he's worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. Let's be sure that we are people of praise this week, people of thanksgiving this week, because we've got a good God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to play a verse of invitation. In fact, I'm going to have us sing a song today that goes along with that providence, that direction. God leads us along. But before we ever get to the singing and before we ever get to the playing, I want to challenge you today. Let's not be like much of the world will be this week and not being people of praise and thanksgiving. In fact, every day, not just one day a year, every day for a believer ought to be a day of thanksgiving and praise. Thanking God for what he has done for us. Thanking him for he is a good God. Thanking him for his mercy endureth forever. His goodness, his kindness, his favor upon us is forever. But you may be here today and you may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not have a personal relationship with God. And I would ask you today, my friend, to please consider your eternal destiny. Consider whether you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As I say these words to you and as you're listening, if you feel that tug in your heart, that's not from any person. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's God himself telling you that he loves you. You feel that tug in your heart, that's the Lord telling you, I love you and I want you. I want you to be one of my children. And I'd encourage you to come today, let someone take the Bible, share with you how you can be saved. Christian, the Lord tug on your heart today? Are you living a life of thanksgiving and praise and gratefulness for all that he's done for you, even in the difficult times? Whether they're at your pew or you take the step to come out today to this altar, let's show the Lord that we're grateful and we're thankful for his many blessings in our lives. Father, I pray that you take this invitation now, Lord. Use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray if there's anybody here that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that today would be that day that they would recognize their need and call on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For those that do know you, Lord, I pray that we'd be people of thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we take even a few moments today during this invitation just to thank you for how good you've been to us. In Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as the piano begins to play, the Lord's touched your heart. Would you respond today? Use this altar there at your pew. Thank God for his enduring, his everlasting mercy in our lives. Thank you. as we look ahead to this next year, we don't have no idea what God's going to do, how he's going to do it, what's in store for us, but will you trust this in his providence, in his direction? The God that's never made a mistake will continue to never make a mistake, and we can trust him. We'll have Kevin lead us in this song. The words will be on the screen. Sing this song as a song of praise and thanksgiving for God's leading in our lives.
Shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cold flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season. And all the day long.
Let's sing that last verse together.
Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Sure do appreciate you being here this morning. It's good to see you. Trust you can be back with us.